atomic batteries to power turbines to speed. It's Bat Squad Radio, episode 21, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, my name is Kevell. I'm the host of the show, and joining me, as always, is my all-star compatriot, New Jersey Bat Dave. What's going on?
Hello, hello, Kev. How you doing? But I got one little problem here.
What's the problem?
Why are we starting the episode?
Because certain members of our squad here are being little babies, and despite the fact that I got shit to do, he's not here, and we're 10 minutes past the start time.
So you're saying we're actually going to do an episode of Bat Squad Radio without Spider Denny?
We're going to do this for as long as it takes him to finally be like, hey guys, I'm here. Folks, I'm going to kill the music here. It is a temper tantrum. It is a little baby temper tantrum in which he wanted to start at 8:45, but we both said no, we have to start at 9 o'clock. So he is making us wait now.
A.M., which is huge because I am not a morning person and I was ready at 8:45.
Right.
So I have misgivings about this because this can only blow up in our faces. Starting an episode of Bat Squad Radio without Spider Denny. This is uncharted territory.
Oh, what, are all his fans going to be upset?
Kevin, I don't know. I think we should give him another 5 minutes grace period before we start.
Here's the thing. It was just he tried to take the control by being like, I'm going to make them wait. But we've wrestled control back and we just started the episode. He'll still be on this episode whenever he decides to grace us with his presence. But other than that,
I mean, this is a huge episode, and this episode revolves immensely around Denny and his recent successes. And it's a shame that he just had to do this.
Do we really want to call them successes? Because we'll get into that later.
Well, he almost won a trophy, but we'll get into that later. But it was award-winning cosplay, and there's a lot that revolves around Denny. And I'm hoping that any second, any moment now, he's going to call in. Maybe not to apologize to us, but to at least get the show started.
Yeah. So what the hell? What is this music?
I don't know.
Did you hit music all of a sudden?
No, I did not, and it's starting to bother me.
Where is this coming from?
Ladies and gentlemen,
what?
Will you welcome, please, the world's greatest cosplayer, the one,
oh, no.
The only,
no,
NJ Spider Denny!
Are you?
Yeah, guys, what's going on? I'm here, bitches.
Are you kidding me?
Denny gets his own announcer, his own intro, and I don't.
Well, yeah,
the fact that you get your own theme music? What is happening here?
Well, I'm just an award-winning cosplayer at this point. I mean, it just makes sense to have my own entrance.
You want a stuffed rabbit!
It doesn't matter what I won, because winning is winning.
We'll get into this later, but folks, I don't even need to welcome him to the show because it was just done in grandiose, bloviating fashion. New Jersey Spider-Man.
Well, I don't even want you introducing me, buddy, okay?
All right. I'm just saying, you know, for somebody that had so much to do today, made us wait about 15 minutes before he graces us.
Yeah, I actually have a life, unlike you guys that just sit there and do whatever the hell you guys do.
Kevin, I feel you should apologize to Denny for saying he was late because of a temper tantrum.
Well, it did seem like a little bit of a temper tantrum, but now I see that it was just because he wanted a rock star entrance.
Well, it's important when someone is wrong about something that they apologize.
Okay, so well, I am sorry about that, Denny. I thought that you were trying to make us wait because you wanted to start at 8:45.
And speaking of apologies, buddy, I think you got a little something to apologize to, Dave.
Yeah,
Dave. Let me tell the story about this. So on Twitter, let me see if I can actually pull up the tweet while we...
Which I don't have. I don't have Twitter because I'm from the 20th century.
I know. I mean, listen, you barely function on Facebook, so the fact... You actually trying to be on Twitter.
I barely function in life.
Yeah. You trying to be on Twitter would have been absolutely terrible.
He's like, what is this pound symbol?
A listener named Mike Spear, who is an old wrestling friend of mine. He's a former pro wrestler by the name of Ace Wild. He posted, I love @WhiteDragonPN, #BatSquadRadio, and love the con talk, but turned it off after Dave bleeping spoiled Logan like it was nothing.
Wow.
He F-bombed, yeah.
Oh, man. So he's upset, and he's a professional wrestler, and he's mad at me.
You have a professional wrestler who is angry at you. Not for the first time, but...
Well, yeah, everyone gets mad at Dave because he's selfish.
What is he mad
prick.
About? What did I do or not? What did
you
I
gloriously spoiled
not?
Logan.
How could I... How can I have spoiled Logan when at that point when we
you mentioned the episode, you mentioned the familial bonds between Logan and X-23 and said what it was like?
But I hadn't seen the movie at that point.
Yeah, but you still knew the spoiler and you still spoiled it.
I saw the trailer.
I know that Soylent Green is people, but I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, well, that's a 44-year-old movie. But the point with Logan was, all right, I better just apologize. I'm sorry. We love our listeners. We never try to lose a listener.
Apologize to Mike by name.
Yes.
Mike.
I was going to say that, too.
Mike, I am sorry for ruining the Logan experience for you, but I had not seen the movie at that time. And now, since henceforth, having seen it, I didn't really ruin that much for you because it was the most predictable, boring, flat, and ill-advised movie that Marvel ever put out.
Well, Marvel didn't put it out. Fox put it out. But yeah, absolutely. Oh. I'm 100% in agreement with you. I think I talked about it a little bit on the last episode, but I feel that Logan, I feel like people like it because Wolverine says the F word and a lot of people get cut up and there's lots of blood and gore and crap like that.
Yeah, because it's like edgy, you know?
Yeah,
that's the only reason why.
Yeah, it's edgy. And now Fox is going to make everything rated R because, you know, that's what Fox is going to do.
Well, we got the apology out of the way.
Yes.
And I never would try to spoil something for another human being. There are individuals out there that deliberately try to spoil endings of, let's say, The Walking Dead.
Right.
Or other type things. And that's
because I do that because I don't give a shit about people. That's why. That's exactly why. I don't care.
No. Here's the thing. You do give a shit because once they fire back, you get ridiculously angry.
Yeah, I get mad because you know what? It's freedom of goddamn speech and I'll say what I want. You know what? Don't go on social media. That's the whole point of it.
But then they're saying their freedom of speech is telling you that you're an asshole. So
which
they're...
is fine because I agree with
How
them.
How is it fine? You freak out.
I don't because I don't care.
No,
that's
you
exactly
clearly
why.
Do. If you didn't care, you'd be like, okay, whatever. But you freak out and you block them and you like get all like angry.
Okay, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is all going to come up later, folks. I mean, we have quite an episode. But first things first, we should probably send Kevin back in time in his mind to what was the premier event in the sci-fi pop culture
universe.
We're
not talking about movies then, huh?
Oh, sorry.
I was going to transition from that into...
You ruin everything.
Logan was a bad
Wait, hold
movie.
On. I need to issue another apology to this show.
Logan was
sorry,
a bad movie,
I got
but
out of order.
I saw a really good superhero movie recently. Saw it twice actually, and that was the surprisingly the Power Rangers movie.
It looks like crap. It was it really good?
Here's the thing: if you watch the show as a kid, then it's great because it's a nostalgia kick. And kids like your son's age would love it. Because it's made for them, pretty much. It's made for them and fans of the original. If you never watched Power Rangers and you're an adult, you're not going to like this movie.
I was reading like kind of the opposite. They said that if you do know like the original version, that the new version, it's like a totally – not totally different, but they changed a lot of it. So like you're kind of sitting there like, oh, this should happen or that should happen, but it doesn't.
No, because so kinda, like, I don't think so because it's kind of a it's like a rehash retelling of the story, but they modernize it and they make it a little bit more like, you know, like Jason's under house arrest and Billy's autistic and Trini's a lesbian and,
Whoa, spoiler.
Yeah, I guess that was.
Yeah, spoiler. Now, now I'm going to write a tweet out there. So this way you have to apologize to them.
Yeah. But I thought the action, it was action packed. It was great. It had enough awesome moments and callbacks to the original show that kept me on the edge of my seat. I believed the friendship between the five of them, unlike Logan, where I was like, I don't even understand why he cares about this little girl who doesn't talk.
Right.
Yeah, I honestly believed this movie, and I enjoyed this movie, and I loved this movie. Listen, are there plot holes? Yeah, there are plot holes you can pilot the Megazord through. But I don't have a problem with that, because this movie doesn't take itself seriously. Like, the movie... Like, it has plot holes, but you're like, whatever, it's Power Rangers. Like, Batman versus
Superman.
It was
fun. It was an entertaining experience, unlike other movies.
Yes, it was fun. Like, Batman versus Superman took itself really seriously. So when it has a plot hole, you're like, no, F you, that's a plot hole, Scott Snyder. Or, I'm sorry, Zack Snyder. Scott Snyder's a brilliant writer. But, yeah, that was Power Rangers. I enjoyed it. And then there was a trailer that dropped recently.
Wait, real quick though, you know what I think would have been kind of cool though if they did take the Power Rangers and make like a Netflix type of series? Because if you think about it, the Netflix series is really, really taken off with a lot of these like like shows. Like,
Netflix series and Netflix movies are all kind of taken off now.
Yeah.
I think it's the future of entertainment is.
Yeah, no, I agree. TVs
are getting bigger, sound systems are getting more advanced, and that's why movie theaters are starting to do things like recliners or 4D experiences, and, you know, like, if it's snowing in the movie, it's snowing in the theater, the seats move and stuff like that, because they're trying to keep you invested in going, and especially, and with Cody now, like...
I was going
to
say that.
Yeah, like, I have Cody. I watched Moana for the first time on my TV at home, like...
Well, you have a mass migration now in Hollywood of tons of A-list stars that are leaving movies to go to these shows because, like they said, it's now a 10-hour movie they're making. It just happens that they're breaking it down over 8 to 10 one-hour episodes.
And I think
you can't do that in a movie.
And I think that what Kevin was saying, that's really going to fill up a lot of those plot holes because you'll have a lot more time to talk about it and say, okay, well, we see this plot hole, next episode. Let's discuss what it is, you know?
Well, and like Daredevil and like Daredevil season two, or I said Daredevil season one was like a 13-hour movie. Daredevil season two was like a trilogy of, movies because every four episodes were kind of its own little contained story. So the first four episodes is very much Daredevil versus the Punisher. And then the next four were Daredevil and Elektra versus the Hand. And then the last five were like Daredevil and Elektra versus the Hand still, but with more Punisher stuff mixed in. They were like three separate movies, and I liked that a lot. I think it's the future of where entertainment's going. I foresee a day where, and like you have, like Dave said, you have a bunch of A-list actors and Adam Sandler all going to Netflix to do these movies. They put out these Adam Sandler movies on Netflix, and they're awful.
Really? I don't really like him to begin with, but
I liked him. Bad. I liked him when I was in like sixth grade. Like I like Billy Madison. I liked Happy Gilmore. I even liked Little Nicky, but after that, just everything was just bleh.
Well, let's stop trashing Adam Sandler. And what was that new trailer that you said dropped?
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Spider-Man.
Again,
there's a new Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
Don't act surprised. You know all about it.
Oh, I know that they had some little snot nose appear in the last Avengers movie.
Yes, yeah, Captain America movie.
Perfect.
Captain America? Was that Civil War?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark, and then he had a hot Aunt May. So they're continuing with that?
It's just like, again, it's another reboot, you know? But I think it's going to be awesome. I'm like, I actually looked this morning. I'm not even joking. I looked this morning to see pre-sale tickets were going on because I'm going to buy three of them, one for me. And then the left and the right are going to be empty seats because I don't want no fat bastard sitting next to me chewing popcorn. So I'm going to enjoy that movie by myself.
You'd expect him to be like one for my wife and one for my son. No. It is Denny by himself.
That's right.
With a buffer between him. That's awesome.
Or maybe the person that buys the ticket next to you is thinking the same thing.
Why don't you just buy one on the aisle, and then you could just buy the one next to you, and then you'd have nobody on either side of you.
Because then I won't be able to get the surround sound. I like to sit in the middle of the theater. I actually sit there. I count out the seats to make sure I'm sitting in the middle, and then I look at where the surround sound speakers are, and I sit a certain amount of space between it. So I get the experience of the whole movie.
Let me ask you, how do you guys feel about this new thing with movie theaters where now you have to buy reserved seats?
I actually love it. I absolutely love it. And the reason why is because, like, think about it. Like, there's numerous times, like, back in the day, even this one, I think I saw one of the first Batmans, I don't remember which one, and we were literally standing outside for, like, 3 hours just to get into the theater because you didn't have reserved seating.
Right,
and then once you got in there, exactly. And then once you got in there, you're just like, crap, there's like a seat all the way in the back or in the corner that you don't care about. So reserve seating to me is just amazing because you get it and it's yours. You could get there at 1 minute before the movie starts and have your awesome seat that you got.
Believe it or not, I actually agree with Denny too, because I hate to say this, but I'm a year or two older than you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And my eyes are going. So in the past, if I got there late, you're right up under the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of it, your neck is sore, your eyes are bugged out. Now you pre-order, boom, I got a perfect seat.
I think there's good and bad with it. The good, because like nothing would piss me off more than when two people would come into a movie theater and throw their jackets down on like an entire row of seats for people that weren't there yet. Like that would, that happened at Civil War. These like three people reserved two rows for their friends and they were like being such dicks about it.
Well, you're really not allowed to do that.
No, you're not, but nobody ever really enforces that.
Yeah.
But now, so now you can't do that. But now also, like, if I'm going to go to a movie, like, if I'm going to pre-order tickets like Spider-Man with a couple of my friends, I can't be like, okay, get a ticket for theater number 11, you know, and because then we won't be sitting together. We have to get the tickets together.
Yeah, it's true.
Which usually means either somebody's got to just front it all themselves and then get paid back, or you have to actually go to the theater together beforehand. It's like a whole big to do.
Yeah, but if they're your friends, quote unquote, then they shouldn't care. Like, I would, like, if you and Dave say, oh, let's go see a movie, like, I'll put out the money, except I'll ask for double back, but that's besides the point.
Of course you
would. But it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's just, if they're a friend, you should be able just to dish out that money. But.
So, as the Spider guy, Denny, how did you enjoy this trailer?
I absolutely loved it. Again, I will say, I think they show too much. A lot. It's a big problem with
they showed
trailers
a lot
nowadays.
In this trailer. This was a very revealing trailer.
Like, I knew that Shocker was going to be in it. Like, they kind of... the hell happened to that?
Evan just passed out?
Okay, that was
Evan,
funny.
You okay?
Yeah, my iPad fell.
That was a shocker.
Oh, that was funny.
Wait, they showed they showed Shocker in the trailer?
Yeah, the trailer too. Did you see trailer two?
Yeah, I didn't see Shocker in that.
Yeah, it's the guy that comes over. He's like sitting on the side by the, I think there's a school bus or something, and then he takes, like, it looks like a gun, and he kind of, like, whips it down, and you see, like kind of lightning bolts coming out, and then he points it at him and shoots him. That's Shocker.
Oh,
yeah. And then he goes, two in the pink, one in the stink, yo.
What?
He's talking about the Shocker.
I see. I'm not even thinking. Like, you're such an idiot.
I know.
Cut that out. Anyway, so yeah, no.
Mr.
Holson, awesome.
Mr. Family Entertainment over here is talking about two in the pink, one in the stink.
Yeah. So wait, so does that mean I can say the word?
No.
Oh, now I have to bleep him out.
Only if the villain was called the fucker, yeah.
But oh, I gotta bleep too. Stop it! You're making more work.
All right. So I thought I thought it was awesome. First of all, I did absolutely love two things in the trailer. I liked the when he was on the building and then the spider came out from his chest and kind of like flew away.
Yeah.
I guarantee that's gonna be a spider tracker.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it onto the helicopter, then he could track it, whatever. So I thought that was cool. Why are you putting your hand up? I'm still talking, Dave.
You gotta lean back. We're losing your audio.
I'm getting his audio.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It might just anyway. So that was cool and I absolutely liked the part when he put on the suit and he just pushes the little button, it just goes. It just contort. Like, if cosplay could be that simple, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
You know?
I like, you know, obviously the Ditko armpit webs, but we saw that in the last trailer. But I think it's great that the story of it kind of seems like Tony Stark takes the suit away and you get, like, homemade Spidey again. Which, you know, you get the homemade Spider-Man costume and that's how he fights the Vulture at the end, it seems. And I think Michael Keaton looks like he's owning the Vulture.
Yep. No, I agree. I like how, like, I mean, he probably looks like leather anyway, but I like how they made him look really, like, old and leathery,
well, he is old.
I guess. Yeah, but I didn't, like, if you looked at his face, he actually looked like, what's that Star Trek guy, Palpatine?
That's a Star, Star Wars.
Star Trek, whatever the hell it is.
You know what? Yeah. That's a good transition.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, Kevin.
Anyway, Spider-Man was awesome. I like the trailer.
The trailer looks great. Okay. I can't wait for the movie. It comes out in a few short months, so.
Yes. July.
Kevin, where were you last weekend?
Last weekend, I was at one of the premier conventions. I was in one of the premier conventions in the world. One of the biggest cons out there.
Amazicon?
No, biggest. Not one of the biggest. Huh. Not one of the biggest disappointments.
Hey, edit that out.
No.
Where were you?
I was in
Florida, so it had to be nearby.
I was at Star Wars Celebration.
In
Orlando, Florida, at the Orlando Convention Center.
It sounds very lame. I'm not going to lie.
It wasn't lame at all. I mean, you know, there were Bat Squad staples there. There was, you know, it was Monica was there. Mike Hemming was there. I didn't see Hemming, but like he won like fourth place, I think, fourth? He placed
fourth place
in
cosplay contest.
See, now this is a cosplay contest that actually means something because there were thousands of people there and he was fourth place out of probably 10,000 people.
Well,
his R2-D2 2000.
I saw your photos. Actually, I saw the photos and the posts of thousands of people because this was, in fact, a huge 40th anniversary celebration that incorporated the actual cast members.
Yeah, and you know what? This is kind of – I felt like it was definitely a it lived up to its name. It actually was a celebration of Star Wars, and it was like a global event. Like, I would say this was like New York Comic Con sized as far as conventions go.
Well, would you consider it a con though? It's more like a party.
No, it was a con. There's a show floor. There's panels. There's cosplay. It's everything that New York Comic Con is. This was.
So they just kind of used the word celebration to kind of lure people in. Of what was it? 20 years? 40 years?
40
I don't know what the hell it is. 40 years.
Well, but you had at one point, from what I saw, there was a panel, and you had Harrison Ford. Right.
George Lucas, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Billy Dee Williams, Ian McDiarmid, like pretty much the entire cast. Warwick Davis, Anthony Daniels, who was C-3PO. You had the entire original cast minus Carrie Fisher, and they did a tribute to Carrie Fisher at the end, where they were going to have an orchestra play the Princess Leia theme, and they surprise brought John Williams out to conduct it.
Wow!
And then John Williams kept. He did a couple more. He did the main Star Wars theme, and then he was like. He's like, hey, can I do one more? Can I, like, he kept asking if he could do one more. Like, he was having that much fun. And he did the Imperial March.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
I did see the interior of the show did resemble very much your typical big scale Jacob Javits type size con. But were all those Star Wars vehicles, all the props, all the gadgets, were they screen used or were some of them replicas? I saw you were sitting alongside Jabba the Hutt. Was that from the movie?
No, those are replicas. And that wasn't officially given by Lucasfilm. That was by, like, there are people that, like, just make these, that, like, make the replicas. And so there was a lot of that. I mean, there were, you know, on the show floor, you had, like, official, like, Disney had its official booth there. Disney Parks had an official booth. They did the Jedi Training Academy that they do at Disney's Hollywood Studios with the kids, where the kids all fight Darth Vader. And then you had, like, you had a lot of fan creations there. You had a whole line of Star Wars cars. I don't know if you saw the BB-8 car that I
Yeah, so
I actually interviewed the lady that created or owns that car, and she said it took them, you know, it was like $10,000 and a year and a half to turn this car into BB-8.
Oh, wow. I was looking at a whole bunch of, like, photos of different people that are doing, like, cosplay and, like, a bunch of the vehicles and stuff. I saw this one photo that was horrible. It was, like, the worst cosplay I've ever seen in my life. It was, like, I think it was, like, a Jedi or something. Had, like, this weird, like, bluish hair that was, like,
spiky. All right,
so
Danny's talking about my first ever cosplay.
The worst cosplay I've ever seen in my life.
That's not your first ever cosplay.
My second, because I did... Smallville Superman at New York Comic Con. So it was my second, technically. This is the first one that I ever had to, like, buy stuff for.
And, well, like, hey, Danny, now that I think about it, maybe this is his first cosplay ever.
Yeah, it was just a jacket. Come
it was
on,
a jacket and jeans. Like, it wasn't any. Yeah. That's why, like, I think of it as being my first.
So what Danny's insinuating here is he's ripping on what you dress.
Well, I don't
up as,
hold on. So... There's a lot. There's, like, things to talk about before we get into the cosplay aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What's your problem?
Yeah.
You're the one that brought it up.
So
I was just saying how horrible it was. I just saw a picture. I never said it was him.
So the first day we get there and we got there. I was with a friend of mine for the first day, my friend Jenna. And we got there and we got into two panels that day. We got into Billy Dee Williams, which is it was called Smooth Talking with Billy Dee Williams, and Warwick Davis interviewed him, and they had a talk show set up on the stage, and Warwick Davis had this, like, little tiny desk and little tiny chair, and he came out on a little Segway. Like, everything is, like, specifically made for Warwick Davis's size, because he's, like, I think he's, like, only 3 feet tall, Warwick Davis. Or, like,
and what does he play in the new movies?
Well, not in the new movies. In the old movies, he was Wicket the Ewok.
Oh, I thought it was R2-D2 because I saw.
No, and
saw
you know
him
what? Somebody else made that exact same mistake.
Yeah, he died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Kenny Baker. They would bring people up on the stage to, like, sit on the stage, like they would pick them out beforehand, like families and stuff. And then when Warwick Davis comes out before he brings out his guest, he interviews the people on the stage. So he walks up to this one guy and he goes, "Sir, let me ask you. Who is your favorite Star Wars character?" And the guy, clearly he wants him to say Wicket the Ewok, and the guy looks at him and he goes, "Oh, well, clearly," and he, like, points at him, he's like, "R2-D2, and he goes,
"Wow.
Actually, that was Kenny Baker. I was Wicket the Ewok. Thank you very much. We're going to go away from you now."
That's funny.
He's like, "I see what you were trying to do there, sir, but you failed."
The only reason why I'm saying that, because I saw Mike Hemmick, he did the R2-D2000, whatever, and he was standing with him. So I assumed that that was, because it kind of would make sense. But
no, I think Warwick Davis interviewed the winners of the cosplay contest or something like that. He is very, very charming and very, like, quick. I was like, the BBC should really just give him his own talk show because it was awesome. So he interviewed Billy Dee Williams, and, you know, Billy Dee was just kind of like, I guess he was happy to be there, but, like, he was very, you know, Billy Dee, he's very laid back. He's very, like, I took a couple videos that I posted, and I posted them on Facebook, of Billy Dee just kind of being like, yeah, man, you know, Lando was this, and Lando was that, and I'm not in the new movie.
It's funny you should say that, because a few days earlier, Billy Dee was the one and only guest at OCCon, which is Ocean City, New Jersey, and I was going to bring that up. Because he had just turned 80. So
80?
Lando Calrissian is 80 years old now. And the guy has had a long career. And it predates Empire Strikes Back by many, many decades. So that whole aspect of his career means more to the fans, honestly, than it did to him. And when they did a Q&A at OCCon, Billy Dee was nice with the fans. But, you know, the fans will get up there and, so in the 14th minute of Empire Strikes Back, when you turned in, and he's like, yeah, right.
He does not care at all about that kind of stuff. Like, he likes that he was Lando. He enjoys the fact that he gets a paycheck from it. And I think he really genuinely does love Star Wars, but he is not going to sit there and geek talk with you. He's Billy Dee Williams. He's the coolest man on the planet.
Right. That's what I gathered. And he's 80 years old and he's allowed to do that.
And so after that panel, I went to Ian McDiarmid, Emperor Palpatine, the villain of the Star Wars saga, my favorite Star Wars character. I made my friend get to that line an hour early. We sat in the fourth row right on the aisle. I was like, I was super close to my idol, and I got to actually ask him a question. In the panel.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds boring, but go ahead.
So I said to him, I'm like, I have a geek question and a real question. And I've been trying to decide what to ask. So, and I feel like I'm never going to get this chance again. So I'm going to ask you the geek question. And I said, if I were to tell you that the Senate would decide your fate, what would you say? Because in the movies, when Samuel L. Jackson goes, the Senate will decide your fate. He goes, I am the Senate. And everybody, like, it's like a big thing online now. Everybody, like, him saying I am the Senate has become like a big meme. And he wouldn't say it. He was like, he goes, I would say, and then he switches into the Emperor Palpatine voice and he goes, next question. So I got I got denied by my idol.
That's great.
But it was funny.
Now, do we want to bring up that bizarre cosplay?
Yeah, I want to make one more point. I want to make one more point, though. The other thing that I really liked to see at Star Wars Celebration was a lot of the fan groups. Like, all the fan groups were out. The Rebel Legion, the Saber Guild, who do like lightsaber combat, like choreography for like charity events, and the 501st Legion, which Monica Toulet and her boyfriend Frank are both a part of. And it was really cool. The 501st had like a gala ball one night where they actually had Ian McDiarmid, Emperor Palpatine himself, like sitting there in the Emperor's throne, like over the stormtrooper garrison.
Apparently, anybody can get into that 501st. All you have to do is buy a costume and say, "Hey, here's my costume. I spent $1,000 on it," and then you're in it.
I mean, it's not hard to get into it. It's just, you know, like I think the 501st is 501st is at like every con I've ever been to. They always have a table at every con.
And they also do a lot of wonderful charitable events and fundraisers.
Absolutely.
I did, Kevin, in all seriousness, I did want to ask you, because I am more of a Star Trek fan, because I'm a year or two older than you.
Right.
So when Star Wars came out, I was just kind of, at that point, I'm just too cool for this. It's just basically.
At that point, you were 56 years old.
Yeah. You know, it's a space Western and there's a ferry guy. But being a Star Wars fan, would you say that having Disney acquire the franchise has overall been a good thing?
Yes, absolutely, because Disney's not really interfering in Star Wars. They're letting the Lucasfilm people, without George Lucas, like, is that George Lucas was the problem as Star Wars came into like the present, because he wanted to make it more like kiddie and Jar Jar Binks and Ewoks and this, that, and the other thing. Like George Lucas was the problem with Star Wars. The fans wanted one thing, George wanted another, and George got his way because it was his property. Disney took it from George, and now Kathleen Kennedy and the Lucasfilm folks have been turning out incredible films, incredible television series, incredible comic books, and just keeping the saga going forever. And because of this, Disney is now creating a Star Wars theme park in Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is going to be a 14-acre land opening in 2019, which is essentially going to be where I live for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, you already basically live there. You're like squatting at Disney World.
Yeah, I do.
What I've been seeing.
Well, I have a question for you, Kev. Being that you're a huge Star Wars fan and huge Disney fan and absolutely hate this company, what do you think about Apple buying Disney?
It's not going to happen. It's a rumor.
It's kind of what I was saying, but I don't
said
know
you can't. Yes, you can't buy what's not for sale. Disney is not in a position where they need to sell to anybody.
Yeah, but think about like people just sit there and say, "Oh, look how much money I'm throwing at you." But I don't think Apple would even get close to what they have.
No,
to, you know,
definitely not. So. And honestly, if that were to happen, you know, Apple would buy Disney, and then you know they'd have the superior product out there. And then that would allow Universal to catch up and then surpass them, and then they would just rip off everything that Universal was doing.
Well, you know why they want to do that, right? Why Apple wants to do it? So they could start streaming their Disney movies and stuff mm-hmm. through their Apple service.
Yeah, I would say just make a deal. Disney's a much bigger company than Apple,
yep.
So it's...
Yeah, just make a deal. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And Kev, wouldn't you say if that did happen, that would be Disney's poison apple?
Yes, it would. Very good, Dave. You've been sitting on that for a while.
Yeah, about 4 minutes.
Yeah, he's probably waiting to see.
All right,
but what about that weird cosplay? That
yeah, so
saw,
I was Rick from Rick and Morty, which is like a big, huge thing right now. But Rick
which
from Rick and Morty,
really cool, like a year ago, but it started popping up recently. I don't know.
Rick
why.
Is the Dark Lord of the Sith.
But how did you get your eyebrow to grow together? In
I
the
took.
Middle
I had a liquid
eyes.
Eyeliner pencil that I put across my eyebrows to make a unibrow. And
how did you get your hair to be blue and shocky?
I got a. Blue...
He went to the dollar store like you.
No, I bought a blue wig off nice. Of Amazon, and then I styled it. It's actually a nice
What's
wig.
Like What's
it's
Amazon?
Amazon.com, Dave. It's an online
oh, okay.
retailer.
That's what he went to Africa.
But yeah, like I was actually happy with myself because I actually was able to style the wig. Like wig styling is something that cosplayers all hate. And it took me time, but like I actually was able to sit there and like work with like the hair glue and like the blow dryer and the
yeah.
and thing.
So
and...
you did it yourself. You didn't have someone outside help you. With
no,
your
no,
cosplay.
I didn't pay four figures. You know that could have gone to my son's college fund to to have a costume that I would wear once.
Well, thank God you don't have a son to worry about.
Exactly.
So go F off, Kevin. I'm out.
No, but
do we want to go there? Do we want to transition now?
I will tell you that I got a really great reaction from people there. I was taking lots of pictures. People were like, "Oh my god, that's awesome!"
Hashtag no one cares.
Hashtag eyeballs rolling.
it was and you know what the other great thing is a lot of people saw it and it was at a convention with a lot of people at it. So you
but
know,
here's the thing, Kev. And I could tell you, as someone that has generated dozens and dozens of amazing characters on a limited budget, I'm mm-hmm. talking about myself, are you hooked now? Are you bitten by the cosplay bug?
I feel like I would want to do another. I would want to do something else, yeah.
What would be your next one? What do you think?
I don't know. Like, this one, literally, I mean, it's obvious because it's very thrown together.
I know who you could cosplay as. Vincent Valentine. That
yeah.
would be awesome.
And nobody would get it.
Exactly.
I have the costume already, so it would. This I put this costume together for, you know, it was under $50. Like the wig was like $13. I bought a thing of hair glue, and I put it together in like a week because I got hit with the idea like a week before the convention.
Yeah, that's when it happens, and I appreciate the effort. I mean, we're making fun of you, but it was what it was. You did not win an award like Mike Hemmick.
I didn't enter because I knew I wouldn't win an award. But the cosplay that was on display at Star Wars Celebration was some of the best cosplay I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was so creative, so amazing. These people must have, like, spent hundreds of hours working on these costumes. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine.
You see how awesome it, like, things look when you spend a lot of money on a costume and you make it look amazing?
But, like, guys like
place?
Mike Hemming who make it themselves, yeah. Like, I absolutely think that that's awesome. Like, I picture but, Mike Hemming in, like, his Tony Stark laboratory, like, making these costumes, like in a montage, like in the first Iron
Man. He's in a little studio apartment. I'm not joking. He's in a little studio apartment. He said he has his living room is just all cosplay. He said all of his shit is just thrown in there.
Hey, Danny, you know what's ironic? Kevin is singing Mike's praises, but he has not said Mike's last name correctly once all episode.
Isn't it Hemming?
What is that?
Hemming.
Oh, yes. I thought you were saying Hemming.
No, I said Hemming every time.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I have a head cold.
Yeah, and I'm a little. My sinuses are a little congested. So.
Well, anyhow, we're talking about award-winning cosplay, which you did not do. But we're sitting here, co-host of ours, Dennis Pelicano, has entered 4 cosplay contests and has won all 4. That's batting 1,000, friend.
That's right. Because that's how awesome I am.
Yeah, so was this like at like, you know, New York Comic Con or like Big Apple Con or like one of these big shows where there's a lot of people at and a lot of competition?
It was at a huge Comic Con. It was at a huge hotel, a really big DoubleTree hotel. It was
We're not talking about the size of the venue, Denny. We're talking about the size of the convention.
Well, listen,
it's still big.
This convention, this hotel had 3 floors.
No, actually had 5, right? They had 5? He was 5.
I think so. In Denny's defense, his cosplay was so magnificent and so epic and so time-consuming to put together that we needed a room. So you go to these big shows, you don't have a room, you'll be changing out on the streets, literally, right, like I've done. We had a room at the show. The show was called AmazeCon. Mm-hmm. And AmazeCon, as we all know, is the ultimate pop culture collector event, formerly in outside of Philly.
Because the Great Philly Con was going on the same weekend,
and that show looked
awesome. It had a lot of really cool like guests, and like I was seeing like Monica and Mike's pictures from Great Philly Con, and I was like, oh my gosh, like the entire Babylon 5 cast and all these Power Rangers and all this great cosplay, and then I'm seeing you guys from AmazeCon, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but any photo you take at any con, you can make it look amazing. I'm going to be very honest.
Yeah, like Denny's other cosplay that we had him team up with actor Greg Evigan. Greg Evigan was he's a phenomenal guy. He was the star of BJ and the Bear, a late 70s, early 80s one-hour drama about a young, handsome truck driver and his chimp. His sidekick is a chimpanzee, and they go traveling around the country. I think we touched upon the setup for this. Anyhow, at AmazeCon, which now takes place in Wilmington, Delaware, Greg was one of the many guests at AmazeCon, and we pre-approved this idea with his manager and with him. Greg's funny because some of these actors, they can be difficult. They may not want to be reminded of their past. Greg was great. He said, go for it. So at the last minute, we put together a bear, BJ.
No, rephrase. I was forced. Go ahead.
Denny was forced. Now, Denny is a little a few years younger than I am. He doesn't have the nostalgic memory of BJ and the Bear. Wasn't really familiar with the character of Bear being a chimpanzee. And at the last minute, we put together the quintessential BJ and the Bear chimp costume. Denny got into it, and one of his first 2 cosplays that literally stole the show and rocked the entire weekend was BJ and the Bear reunion with Greg Evigan and the BJ and the Bear rig, the front of the 18-wheeler truck. So Greg loved it. The crowds of all ages, the kids loved it. It was a real aisle blocker.
It was really weird, though. I'll tell you, it was just weird because, like, when I put that monkey costume on, and like I felt like I became the chimp. Like I'm like everyone asked me, "Oh, can I take a photo with you?" I'm just like, "Ooh, ooh, ah, ooh, ah." Like I said nothing.
You got
but
into
that
character
the whole time, dude. I'm not joking. It like when you put in the costume, like I don't know about you guys because you guys are low class cosplayers. I just feel like when you get into a costume, you just become that person. You know, it's really
or that monkey
or that monkey.
Yeah, I mean, I get that because like when I was doing the Rick and Morty cosplay, like I was doing a lot of like Rickisms and people were talking to me like I was Rick and I was kind of like doing the voice and like stuff like that. So yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. As much as I like to rip on Denny, he was lights out. He was on. He became full Simeon with the knuckle dragging. He was climbing on stuff. He never broke character, and he's done that before with other characters, like when you were Italian Spider-Man, which possibly is going to be Italian Spider-Man may be returning very soon, but he was great. He was great, and the show, as much as certain people want to bust on it, we always have a
great time.
No, I mean,
listen, I know that you guys, the thing about conventions is it's not about how big it is, it's about how much fun you have. I just, you know, we like to say a lot of things on this show to kind of like piss each other off and get under each other's skin.
Of course.
But the fact that you guys had such a good time is an awesome thing, and I really appreciate that.
Like, if I think about it like this, like, and I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but I kind of am, so it's okay. Like, if I went to that Star Wars celebration thing, I would have been bored out of my mind.
Because you're not a Star Wars fan.
Exactly. So it just, you know, just kind of works out for who likes what, you know?
And Kevin,
I will say that it's interesting that you chose to debut your Spider-Spawn cosplay at a show, though, at a show where you were clearly going to be the big fish in the small pond and have no competition.
Well, Dave, tell him why. You know exactly why.
We needed the room. It took a full hour for him to become Spider-Spawn. And what's the concept behind Spider-Spawn?
It's just two of my favorite characters mashed together.
I still think it would have looked better if you were Black Suit Spider-Man.
No, because if I did the Black Suit, I did a lot of different – I kind of drew up different concepts and what I wanted, and I did it like that. It looked way too close to actually Spawn. It's the only reason why I didn't do it. Because Spawn's thing is black with the white – you know, the white stripes on it.
Yeah, I get it. I just feel like it would – like – to me, it almost looked kind of like Spider-Man's wearing a cape. Like, if you were Black Suit Spider-Man, I would have been like, oh, shit, that's Spider-Man as Spawn.
Which is something you could do down the road. But let's give the listeners the timeline. But before we do that, Spider-Spawn, in a huge, huge effort from Jeff Rior. What's Jeff's company? Jeff builds props, costumes, everything.
I want to say it's the Wooden Dwarf. I could look that up real quick. You could keep talking.
Sure.
He did an excellent job. Like it's very well put together. I mean, it should be for you know, like, Denny spent a lot of money on this,
which we'll get into. But the thing was with the timeline of AmazeCon, it's a 2.5-day show. So we arrive Saturday. We do the Greg Evigan thing. Denny does BJ and the Bear Chimp. Denny, how were your legs the next morning?
Yeah, so real quick, just check him out. It's the Wooden Dwarf on Facebook. He has a like
Jeff
page.
Jeff Rior.
Very nice.
Jeff Rior. So yeah, my legs were killing me the next time. My quads and everything else because I'm fat and I can't really like move that well.
No, it's just because walking around in the squatting fashion.
If I could finish what I was talking instead of being really freaking interrupted, then I'll tell
Kevin.
You the reason why. What the hell's your problem, Kevin? So what happened was,
Open your soda can, Kevin.
Dave, I've been thinking that since we started. I'm not even joking. I'm like, what is it? There it is.
Yes.
So anyway, so the next day, like, cause, you know, it's a lot of weight being like held up. So while I'm bending down and trying to like walk like that, it puts a lot of stress on the knees and the ankles, and you know, being that I'm a lot younger than you.
A year or two. Yeah.
But you're not that heavy anymore. You've slimmed down.
Yeah, well, I gained some of it back ever since the damn holidays.
I don't want to be mean-spirited. Well, sometimes I do. But your Spider-Spawn, you couldn't have done that a year or two ago when you were more paunchy. Spider-Spawn looked great.
I will say, like, when you first told me you were doing this, like, because I haven't seen you in a while, like, face-to-face, and I was like, he's going to look like a tomato in a cape. But you honestly did not look bad as it.
Oh, thank you. I can't say that about your costume. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
We actually, there was a lot of people that could not believe that Denny was both the chimpanzee and Spider-Spawn because it happened in the same 10-hour period. But he was, and we even took the big reveal. We unmasked Denny in both costumes to show, in fact, he was the cosplay
superstar.
People
were like, put that mask back on!
And, right. Well, Denny shaved his head now. His head's shaved, and he had the big anthrax beard. So it was an odd look. But the thing was, you were talking about big fish in a small pond, and I'll agree with that, but there's nothing wrong with that. And that evening, they did have the costume contest, and boom, Denny won first place. The problem was, there was a bit of a mix-up or something with the trophy.
No, there was not a mix-up. They just never announced it, and I brought this up to the promoters. I said to them that in the scheduling, it didn't specify that there was a second costume contest. They had two contests in one day. Apparently, the first one was supposed to be for kids, and that's why I won a huge bunny and a video game that I don't even own.
Wait, you won the contest that was for kids?
I'm being very serious. I didn't know that they said that this was considered the kids version, but during the all right, cut.
I'm picturing this spider spawn next to like these little kids with like plastic Iron Man masks. and he wins, he like knocks them all over.
So basically, what happened?
You're literally a big fish in a small pond.
During the costume contest, there was no kids, so they didn't have a choice but to make it considered the adult one as well. So I was gonna get back into that thing. I was sweating. It was hot. You know, it was a lot of things that were kind of like falling off or I had to fix up or whatever. But then I was like, I'm not going back to the other one at like 10:30. So like I said, and I got mad just because like they wind up getting they got a cool trophy for the actual winners at the adult version.
You got a stuffed bunny.
Stuffed bunny in a video game and a t-shirt. T-shirt.
What was
cool.
The video game?
The video. Well, they have it's called NJ GamerCon. NJ GamerCon. Check them out. They're pretty cool. I was talking to one of the owners of it called, her name is Lonnie, L-A-N-I. And she's really, really cool. She was basically, I told her my situation and she felt extremely bad. They just didn't have the budget supposedly to put that stuff together. And
what was your situation? Like, the fact that you won a bunny rabbit?
No, the fact that it didn't have it in the scheduling, that there was two contests that day, one for kids and one for the adults. So I told her about it, and she's like, all right. She goes, listen. She goes, I'm going to hook you up. And she wound up basically making me a trophy. It's in the mail as we speak, and I should be getting it soon. She said,
you complained and whined. I spent $1,500 and only got this stupid rabbit. Like, they're going to make you a boo-hoo baby. I hope it says, like, winner of the Amazicon Junior Cosplay Contest.
Hey, First place, winning is winning. I said that already.
I'm so happy that she agreed to make him a trophy because that ride home from AmazeCon would have been miserable.
That's right.
I mean, Denny's the only guy that can win a contest and still be upset.
Dave, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big was just the absolute temper tantrum that he threw when he got that bunny rabbit?
It wasn't a temper tantrum. What it was this slow, quiet burn.
Oh, so that's when you know it's really bad, because
like you ever have like a woman mad at you and you know they won't say why, and it was just like, but it, in the show's defense, that it was the biggest bunny rabbit I ever saw, the stuffed animal.
It was big,
and it is what it is.
Did you give the bunny rabbit to your son, or were you like, no, this is mine, this is for my achievement? I might not like it, but it's fine.
It actually kind of worked out, because what I wound up doing, I left it in my car until he went to bed, and I put it downstairs, and then it was Easter that Sunday, that coming Sunday. So, and then I put his little Easter basket together with the bunny, and he just literally came down the steps and saw it, and he just jumped on it and gave it a big, huge hug. So it made me smile, you know. So it worked out, but I wish I did not get that and make my kid happy. I wish I got a freaking trophy.
Right, you'd rather make yourself happy than make your child happy. I get it.
Exactly.
We will need to also, in future episodes, keep track if that trophy ever does arrive.
There's no way that's actually happening. I'm sure he checks in with her every day about it.
Yes.
He badgers this poor woman about when his trophy's going to happen.
No, what are you talking about? I didn't Facebook.
Yeah, I'm sure if we look at your Facebook messages, there's every single day multiple question marks and like, hey, what's going on with that trophy, huh?
Well, you know what, though? Of the two contests that...
1-3-1.
Of the two contests that AmazeCon did hold that day, Denny did win the more difficult of the competition. The evening one was just kind of everyone's partying and drinking.
Right.
And he did a great job. There was some competition, but not to the level that he and Jeff Rior had put together with Spider Spawn.
Enough
but
ranting, but
you
I
should
would...
bring it to one of the bigger shows as well. Like,
oh, no, yeah. I am. Well, that's because East Coast Comic Con is actually coming up the next couple weekends, and I'm going to definitely debut it there, which is a really awesome con, and I'm looking forward to that one. So we're going to wind up pushing it for that. Definitely.
Yeah, let's transition that. That's a good transition to go into what you guys have coming up, because I don't have any conventions coming up. I was going to go to MegaCon in May, but then I decided not to.
Oh, I got something we could talk about. Beyond the superhero stuff, which we're known for, Denny and I love a good horror show.
Yes.
And which we went to one about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago. We went to NJ HorrorCon and Film Festival, and boom, there's Tracy Lords over there. They had John Waters was doing a Q&A. For a first-time show, they did a great job. It was in Edison, New Jersey, which is close to where Denny and I both live. And it's good. So now we've added that NJ HorrorCon.
Well, besides John Waters, why don't you mention the big guy? Matthew Lillard. He was there.
Who's Matthew Lillard?
Okay, yeah. Exactly.
Who cares? He's Shaggy. Scooby-Doo. Shaggy, yeah.
Like, whoa, Scoob, zoinks!
That was horrible. Yeah, so, okay, what are you saying, Dave?
That's one of my key impressions.
Now, we now have the new NJ Horror Con, which seems like it's going to be an annual event. We add that to the Monster Mania, as we always do. Tomorrow, being a Sunday, today's Saturday, tomorrow we're going to Chiller Theater. And Chiller's always a good time up in
Parsippany. I miss Chiller Theater. Like, I used to go to Chiller Theater every year. I really like that show.
Yeah,
Benny,
good.
can you pull up their guest list? Because sure. Tomorrow, they're
going
to have...
Why don't you say the date? Because when this airs, they're not going to have the tomorrow in there, Dave.
Yeah.
What's it?
I don't know. You know what? It'll air today. It'll air today,
22nd,
so we'll have it.
22nd today and 23rd is tomorrow.
Okay. April 23rd, that's tomorrow we're that's going. Tomorrow. But they have a great Fright Night reunion. We lost the late, great Roddy McDowell almost 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and he was the great vampire hunter. But the rest of the cast still around, still intact, and they're getting them, pretty much all of them together. And they have a ton of other – I mean, they have – Chiller is odd because Chiller is smart. They're not just horror and sci-fi anymore. They've right. really branched out.
Well, yeah, like Joyce DeWitt was at one. That's the one that I – like Joyce DeWitt and Big Bird were at the last one I went to.
Well, apparently they're going to have a reunion of the Perfect Strangers.
Cousin Larry and Balky.
Yep. So they're going to be there. There's a bunch of other people like Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie. Dean Cain's going to be there. A couple
Love
people
Dean
from
Cain.
Yeah, some people from Walking Dead, like Tom Payne. He plays Jesus. Austin Emilio. He plays Dwight.
These are all people you haven't gotten yet, right? Like, are you going to try to get any of them?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get them tomorrow. We'll see. Flava Flav, which is awesome.
Flav.
And then some kind of starchy and Huck. Hut. How do you? What is it?
He's being facetious because, as many of our fans and followers know, we are huge Starsky and Hutch aficionados, and not the motion picture with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson.
Denny, are you a Starsky and Hutch aficionado, or is he saying the royal we here?
Denny
yeah,
is
crickets. I, we can I put crickets so. There.
I Denny so. Is researching the character in the same way he researched the bear from BJ and the Bear, and that went over wonderfully. My usual Hutch, I have a Hutch fella. I don't want to get into the ugly side of the shows, but I lost my Hutch because the official Gran Torino, the Starsky and Hutch car from the show, is being provided by a wonderful fellow, Stephen Lewis Bordy. Steve's there. Great guy. He owns one of the three remaining Starsky and Hutch television series cars. And he'll be there. They'll be bringing out Paul Michael Glazier. Unfortunately, David Soul, who played Hutch, he's been having some health issues lately. He canceled on the show. Antonio Fargas, he'll be there. He was Huggy Bear. And these are all the original 1975 to 1979 cast members. My one other fellow, he was going to play Hutch. There's a little bit of a drama unfolding. Denny has wonderfully graciously stepped in to be
I really didn't. Again, you forced me to, because you said I have my awesome anthrax beard, and you're like, oh, you better shave it off and come cleanly shaved. I'm like,
yeah, and I appreciate and respect that, because
Emperor
Bat
Dave
David,
making his decrees.
When I asked Super David J, David Jablonski, great guy and a founding member of Bat Squad Studios, I asked him to shave his beard so we could become Gilligan and the Skipper. He would be the Skipper because at that time he was morbidly obese. Yeah. He refused. He was.
Yeah.
He was clinically, his doctor told him. And he lost a lot of weight because the doctor said, you're going to have a heart attack. You're a mess. And now he looks great. He's skinny.
He's no longer a lovable buffoon.
Right. He's a scrawny, emaciated buffoon.
Yeah.
But he did not shave for Starsky. He did not shave for Gilligan and Skipper. It hurts to this day. Denny is a master of his craft. And he is fully committed to Starsky and Hutch tomorrow. And he shaved that weird beard.
Yep.
Yeah,
it goes back. So
Denny's
like,
very
you know what?
Denny's very clean shaven. He'd actually probably blend in with all those kids that he beat out in the cosplay contest.
I mean, being that I'm such an award winning, cosplayer now, I have to kind of, for my fans, basically, have to show them what it's all about.
So now that you've achieved such success, battling children in the cosplay world, are you gonna now like take it to like enter the Pinewood Derby for the Boy Scouts, or like maybe go to a school spelling bee and just continue your absolute dominance over these kids and showing them exactly that they're not gonna succeed in life with people like New Jersey Spider Denny in the world?
So next weekend is East Coast Comic Con, April 29th and 30th. They're going to be a whole bunch of
And the winner
there.
Of the Girl Scout cookie selling contest is New Jersey Spider Denny. Out of my way, girl.
No, don't go, Denny. You know why? Because we're going to make Kevin eat those words and those that mean-spirited laughter he's directing at you, because East Coast Comic-Con has wisely put their costume contest on Sunday with a $500 cash prize for first place. And Kevin doesn't know this. You and I have a secret team-up for cosplay.
What are you forcing me to do? I don't even know about this.
You know, the thing with the... Well, anyhow, a lot of our cosplayers...
Oh, the Ambiguous Gay Duo. That's right. I forgot.
We're saving that for New York Comic Con.
Oh, all right.
But a lot of our cosplays have been very intricate and elaborate lately. And so that listeners and you tune in to our adventures, Kevin, tomorrow, Starsky and Hutch, both of us not be wearing our real hair. There's going to be some supplements and augmentation.
Wow, very
interesting. We're going
interesting.
Full Starsky and Hutch here from head to toe.
I don't know what Starsky and Hutch look like, so does that involve styling? They just style the wigs?
Kind of. 70s. Very 70s. Dave Starsky, but they were both undercover detectives.
I don't need to know. I'll see it eventually, but
yes.
We're running out of time, we'll so.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we got? I mean,
Just go down the East Coast Comic-Con list real quick. If you want, April 29th, 3rd at the Meadowlands Expo Center in Sea Caucus. You're going to have like people like Ernie Hudson, Lost in Space cast, Dawn Wells. I think Dave likes that. Wrestler known as Kevin Nash, which I know Kevin absolutely loves. This is the one I'm actually very excited for, is Danny Trejo. I love Danny Trejo. Yeah, so kind of excited to see him.
Machete.
Yep.
It's like if you need a gruff looking Mexican guy, here comes Danny Trejo for your project.
Hey, yep. Kev, without getting into it, because we don't want to get into it, but Denny and I are going to go to East Coast Comic Con in costume so we could get in for the show.
What?
Oh,
right. Yeah, because you need to go in disguise.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And there we have it. So any other anything for you, Kev? You're in Florida. You're enjoying great weather. It's still crappy up here.
None really. You know, just adapting to... I don't really like to call it a diet. It's kind of more of like just like a changing the way you eat and stuff like that. Like I'm doing this thing called the Whole30 right now, which is it's all like whole food. So it's like meat and fruit and vegetables and no sugar, no grains, no dairy, which is killing me because I love cheese. It's working out really well. I've lost almost 10 pounds now in a week.
That must greatly affect your bowel movements.
Not going to lie. It does. Yeah.
Well, good.
Thanks for bringing
keep
that up.
Keep up the great work. And
so is that the name?
Forgot...
Is that the name of the show? Bowel Movement?
No.
I think this one's going to be Cosplay Wars.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Or Cos Wars. What's better? What do you think is better?
I kind of like Cos Wars, but people won't get it.
Yeah. All right.
I think this really, with Kevin now embracing the cosplay world, I think this is going to open up a really fun ongoing gag of who truly is, among the three of us, the world's greatest cosplayer.
Or the world's worst.
Yes.
Well, I'm out of that category, so we're good.
Okay. All right. So anything else you wanted to bring up this week?
No, I was going to mention about your writing career and your books, but we don't have to get
into
that.
I do have a new... Thank you, Dave.
I'm so sick and tired of hearing about that.
Well, you know what, Denny? I'm going to block you from all my statuses on Facebook because
I blocked you already.
I can't handle your... Like, Dave and I were talking about it before the show went on the air when all of a sudden you see Dennis Pelicano has commented on your post and you dread clicking on it because you know it's something just... I have had the unfriend button up so many times in the last week, and for the sake of the fact that I know that we go in... We have our peaks and valleys. I have stayed my hand, but now it makes sense because I know you spent all this money on cosplay, which is why you're always like, does anybody have this free thing that I need that I could easily go to the store and buy?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I save money, and I'm allowed to buy cars.
That's the other thing, Dave. I'm going to unfollow his stuff because I can't handle all of the mega mooch.
But well, did you think that, come on, you did get a chuckle when you said something about you liking mushrooms and I put a picture of Toad running away.
Yeah, no, that was funny.
So why didn't you like it, jerk off?
Are you one of those people? I don't like anything,
yes.
Denny.
You know, as an award-winning cosplayer, I expect my fans to to appreciate me.
You know who are? You know who's not a fan of Denny? The parents of the kids whose hopes and dreams he destroyed in that contest.
Well, that has it from Esquire Radio.
Yeah, I think on that note.
Yep. That's going to do it for Bat Squad Radio this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure you check out my good friends here in the New Jersey Bat Squad on Facebook at facebook.com/NJBatSquadStudios or on YouTube at youtube.com/NJBatSquad. For me, please check out my author page over at facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor. My new book, Rocinante Wrath of the Faithful, is due out on May the 16th, which you can pre-order now for just 99 cents. All right, that does it for this week. Dave, any closing words?
Yes, to follow and see what Denny is mooching for and asking for other people, go to his Facebook page to see what inanimate objects he needs that he could just as easily go to the store and
yes.
buy.
Yes, I know that I can go to the Walgreens and get a lawn ornament for $5. But does anyone have a free one for me? Because I'm New Jersey Spider Denny, and I have a sense of self-importance that is rivaled by none.
And that post got one like.
One like.
And that Facebook page is NJ Spider Denny. Check him out. Check. It's pretty awesome.
I think my comment got more likes when I said when he was like does anyone have this, and I said the store.
Yeah. Now Denny's closing words could be to promote my page.
Yes, Denny. Any closing words that could
affect
it? Nothing.
I got nothing.
Cub Scouts of the world. Don't get too comfortable, because I'm coming for you, because I'm NJ Spider Denny. All right, folks. For New Jersey Bat Day, for New Jersey Spider Denny, my name is Kev L. We will see you next time. Same Bat Squad time. Same Bat Squad channel.
Kevin, off.